Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking today again about the trials of singleness. And I think maybe we better go back to the definition of a trial. A trial is the subjection of a person or thing to a test or examination. How are you doing on your exams with God? What is He testing you on today? A trial is the state or fact of being tried by suffering. And what's my definition of suffering? Very simple. Having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. A whole lot of you married women have what you don't want. You think you married the wrong man. And as a friend of mine said, she'd been married just 3 weeks when she called up a friend of hers and she said, "Oh dear, I've married the wrong man." And her friend said, "Join the club." And there's a whole lot of you who wish you could marry just about any man. You would love to be married. And we're talking about singleness. But the great question is, do you have what you don't want? Do you want what you don't have? That is suffering. And the Lord is asking you to pass the test of acceptance of suffering. A trial is especially a test of one's virtue, faith, or patience by being subjected to affliction or temptation. It is a cross. And the cross cuts across our human nature, doesn't it? James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Would you rather receive a crown of life in the hereafter, or would you prefer to receive a husband or a wife here and now, even if it were against God's will? We have to examine our consciences, don't we? In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, we read this: "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." Am I speaking today to someone who is suffering grief? Perhaps it has nothing to do with singleness, some other area in your life. Has it occurred to you that God brings grief sometimes? That's what the Bible says. "Though he brings grief," in verse 32, "he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love." Now think of a mother and a child, or a father and a little child. You have to bring grief to that child every now and then, don't you? If you are going to civilize this little barbarian, it's going to take a paddle. It's going to take not allowing him to have another lollipop. It's going to take insisting that he go to bed at a certain time when he would like to stay up and play with his toy train. Grief. Why? Because you love him. And God brings grief to us, too, because he knows the exact measure of grief that we need in order to be tested. And singleness is one of those tests. He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. But back up to verse 25 again. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Let's remember, what God does is always good. I have a letter here. I'm so thankful for these letters that I get. In 1982, she says, at the age of 30, the Lord, as I was studying his word, impressed upon my heart the gift of singleness as his personal gift to me. We were studying 1 Samuel at the time. When I came to 1 Samuel 3:18, it was as if the Lord spoke those words to me. Quote, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. The emphasis for me then, as well as since that day, has been upon the word let. This coincides exactly with several principles that you laid forth. Quote, a woman must answer to God by her acceptance of singleness, seeking to know him in it, and converting it into good by a peaceful yes, Lord, rather than by no. This principle has come to life in practical daily terms in my life. There's absolutely no substitute for in acceptance lieth peace, as Amy Carmichael has said. You also said, to follow him is to lose nothing in the long run and to gain much. I have, yes, at times struggled with the long-rangeness of the single life, especially as I see friends marry and babies born and others' children raised. There is that part of me that would like to experience those womanly aspects of life. But, and this is the positive, I have come to the place where I am willing to have what God wants for my life. If it weren't for the gift of singleness, I wouldn't be able to be teaching God's word to other women. I wouldn't be able to spend long hours in studying God's word in preparation. I wouldn't have the freedom to work long and varied hours as an ICU nurse. And I wouldn't have had the opportunity to go out myself this summer as a short-term medical missionary to West Africa in obedience to God's call. To follow him is indeed to lose nothing, and to gain much. Thank you, Kathy, for that most encouraging word, and I do hope that there are many with ears to hear. Yesterday, I gave you that prayer by Amy Carmichael, and shall I pray thee change thy will, my Father, until it be according unto mine? But no, Lord, no, that never shall be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine. This is one of the poems that meant so much to me when I really didn't think that God was ever going to give me a husband. The second stanza says, and work in me to will and do thy pleasure. Let all within me, peaceful, reconciled, tarry content, my well-beloved's leisure. At last, even as a weaned child. Another letter. The Lord gave me ears to hear the first command. Women are to love their husbands. This was a command to love my husband. It is amazing how all the principles apply directly to our relationship with the Lord as his bride. I need to remember that he is my first ministry. She's talking about Christ as her husband all the way through. I need to remember that he is my first ministry, that any spiritual children he may give come second, and that he is my God-given leader. That as I come under his authority, I teach my spiritual children to honor his authority. That the best thing I can do for my spiritual children is to love my husband. She's talking about Christ as her husband all the way through. He is my first ministry. Any spiritual children he may give me come second. He is my God-given leader. The best thing I can do for my spiritual children is to love my husband, Christ, to adapt to him, to fit into his plans, and to pour out my life for him, to show him gratitude, and to let him take care of me. and to trust Him. What a comfort to know that my Maker is my husband. He is intimately acquainted with all my ways and has promised to supply all my needs. What a glorious Lord we serve. I need to meditate on these truths to remember whose I am. You might be interested to know that the lady that wrote that letter is now married, so you really never do know what God has up His sleeve. But she had learned a crucial spiritual lesson in recognizing the fact that her Maker is her husband. And that was a very comforting fact to me when I was widowed, as well as before I was ever married, that I was not without a husband. My Maker is my husband. And He is a totally perfect and loving and flawless husband. And we who are married to human men can certainly tell you, single folks, that there ain't no such thing as a perfect husband. And all the glorious things that you may imagine are going to happen if you manage to find that perfect husband, some of those are just not going to be on the list. And you accept the fact that you marry a sinner, and you accept the gift that God gives you. If God is giving you the gift of singleness just for today, will you trust Him until supper time?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.